The numbers couldn't be more clear. Hiring people with disabilities is a competitive advantage. So why are so many companies still sitting on the fence? We're talking to Tom Gustafson, who's launched the initiative for three multi-billion dollar companies. He doesn't explain why you need to just do it already today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, my friends Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. Isaac, how are you, brother?
Good to see you, Evan, in the new year.
Yeah, Mike, yourself, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Nice to see you as well.
Look, the last time that we had our special guest on this show, Tom Gustafson, we had a great response. Tom, as you may remember, is an expert when it comes to telling companies how to, you know, giving them the playbook on hiring people with disabilities, which is great because, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this show discussing about how people, you know, some people are afraid to hire people with disabilities, but when you start looking at the numbers, you know, people lie, numbers don't lie. The numbers show that when you hire people with disabilities, productivity, attendance, culture, everything is up, up, up. Still, some people are on the fence when it comes to hiring people with disabilities. How do we get those people off the fence and into action mode? That's what the goal is today, to try and get those people to actually move and start doing it. Take action. Let's do it. So without further ado, let's bring in Tom Gustafson from Dollar Tree. Tom, how are you?
Welcome, Tom.
I'm great, fellas. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good to have you back on the show, man.
Glad to be here. This is great.
All right. So last time we talked to you, you spelled out, you know, your story and how you got involved in this side of the business, which is so, you know, inspiring, especially because you had really no personal connection to disability before you started getting into this work, which is not only advocating for people with disabilities, but helping businesses bring on people with disabilities. And, you know, for us, the three of us here, we are all super personally connected to this. I have a child who's severely disabled. So is Mike, Isaac's mom, visually disabled. And for us, you know, seeing people like you who are out there fighting the good fight, and not just because it's charity, but because it actually is good for businesses to hire people with disabilities. It keeps showing across the board that it is good for business. So why do you think that there's still, I don't want to say so much resistance, but why do you think that there's still some hesitation for businesses to kind of hire people with disabilities?
Well, hey, first, thanks again for having me back. And I'm surprised you had me back. Okay. That's great. I love it.
Listen, they were talking. They're like, let's do it. Let's do it. I was like, Tom, that guy, you know, they
he knows a thing or two.
Sure.
No. So to answer your question, Evan, you know, how do you get, was your question about around getting folks off the fence? Is that what
yeah,
your question was?
Yeah.
I think there's this underlying, it took me some time to figure this out. I think there's this underlying fear, and that's the word
of course
that I'm probably going to say a lot throughout this episode here, is that there is a fear, but the question is a fear of what? It depends on who you talk to. Right. You know, for me, it was fear of failure, and I had to have someone talk me off that ledge a little bit to make such a large decision like that in a big company. It was the first time I led a role as an executive in a company, and 6 months into it, I was kind of pressed with a decision like this to say, you know, is this something that we want to do? So it's not like I was out there to try to make my mark in the world. That's not really what my intent was. However, I also knew that this would be something that was really cool and something that's never been presented to me before. And not only that, it's something that's frankly my job. I guess I looked at it a little bit differently, is that my job was to help solve problems when it came to staffing buildings. My business partner came to me with an issue and he said, I need you to help me solve these problems. This is kind of why you were hired. And so for me, I had to look at it in a different way and say, how can I be innovative in a role that is very new to me. So I, you know, in terms of if you're on the fence, I think one of the things you got to look deep inside a little bit and ask yourself, you know, what am I afraid of? Because like I said, for me, it was afraid of failure. Other people, it might be afraid of breaking laws. So people that are in human resources, some people can be black and white, others are not. But those that are black and white think there's too many laws and so forth that can be broken around this. And it's just what we've learned is that's not really true. And, you know, there's another fear out there around, would I be able to work side by side with someone with a disability? Because I'm not close to that. That's not something that's a part of my life. And I can tell you, as you guys mentioned, I don't have a connection with disability. I'm not around it very much. But once I was, it was a whole different world to me that I learned so much from that I knew they could teach us. And I think you have to put yourself out there and be willing to learn about this different world that has been very, it's sad to say this, but it's been very shut out of the employment world. And now, Tom, so if you want to, yeah.
Can you give a little background on where you came from? Give the story of your history, because maybe not everybody listened to the first show of, you know, what your history was, because we're giving what we're doing.
Good point, Isaac.
But just wanted to give a little background on why you're the expert here and what you've accomplished, because I want people to make an understanding of why you're so good at what you do.
Yeah, no problem, Isaac. So my background is in retail supply chain for big box retailers like Best Buy, Gap, Bed Bath & Beyond, and now I'm here at Dollar Tree. And the three most recent companies I've worked at, we've implemented a large disability hiring initiative, meaning we identify a workforce in supply chain where you have maybe 300, 400, 500 people, and we target a third of that workforce will have a disability. And in two of the companies, both Sephora and at Bed Bath & Beyond, Sephora, we achieved that in a number of buildings, and at Bed Bath & Beyond, we were off to a really good start before they ran into the problems they had. And now we are going to be piloting that program here as well at Dollar Tree, and some great business results behind that we've been tracking.
Tom, one of the things when you were going through the list earlier about fear of failure, fear of breaking laws, things like that, I think those are all very, very valid points that all different individuals who would want to try this may face. But I think when I'm listening to what you were saying, there's one thing that sticks out to me the most, and it's the fear of trying, right? There, you can come up with reasons on what you're worried about doing, but it's fear of trying something or fear of taking the first step or putting yourself out there, because you might fail, you might break a law, you might do something wrong. But most of these things are recoverable. But I think the thing that stifles people the most is taking that first step. And to me, that's the bigger question is, why are people afraid to take the first step? Not necessarily just with people with disabilities or hiring people with disabilities, but in general, I'd love to be able to figure out, why are people afraid to just do something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think one of the, but in terms of that first step, I think a lot of it is understanding kind of what is the business need you have. You know, you can look at, you know, is what's the reason you want to do it? Is it solving staffing issues? Is it because you want to fix a culture or make your culture stronger? I think people really have to understand their why. Because if you don't, you're not going to really be able to sell it up the ladder, unless you are the CEO of a high up individual in an organization. You weren't always in a position to make those decisions.
That's true. That's good point.
I do think you have to understand really what the why is behind it in order to take a gamble. Because look, and when I say gamble, it's not really a gamble. Because if you're a business leader, you have to make decisions that are risky or innovative, or use whatever term you want to use. That's what we're paid to do. And if you're in a role and you're trying to, you know, understand or not really sure if you want to do something like this, what I would say to people is that's why you're a leader. That's is why you should be looking at things like this, whether it's hiring people with disabilities or any other innovative idea that you have in your company.
Yeah, that's also a great point. Well, when you're putting, I mean, look, when you're putting together the pitch to try to get people on board with this stuff, it's the case is pretty compelling at this point. I mean, because of people like you and Randy Lewis and other people in the space that have been, you know, running these programs at these major companies, the results have been pretty good. The statistics have been pretty good. When you're talking about culture and productivity and all this stuff, like, if we were to use a sports metaphor here, it's like, if this was Moneyball, you'd be like, okay, this works. Like, there's no question. Like, you implement this 100%.
Yeah. You know, my question for you, Tom, because, you know, being a smaller business, you know, midsize, how do you at an organization get an idea as large as yours to become around your organization, whether it's one supply chain area, you know, like a warehouse or multiple DCs? How does one get an idea, especially if you're not a leader? Let's say you're a parent with a daughter or a son with a disability and you have this idea to bring it back. How do you get it off the ground to get your organization to do that? Because that's what I find so amazing with organizations like Walgreens, Dollar Tree, you know, that we've brought through Randy Lewis, that you have to get this idea from somewhere in such a large organization.
One, in terms of getting at the idea, for me, I'm going to other organizations, as I mentioned prior in my past episode with you, I think that is really, really important, is to see what good looks like.
Yeah.
Because then if I'm going to walk up to somebody who doesn't know anything about this and say, we're going to hire 100 people with disabilities and put them in your workforce, of course they're going to say, that is really different. We've never done anything like that before. Who does that?
Yeah.
Unless I show you a company that does do it and does it well. And then you have the statistics to back it up. The other thing I would tell you in terms of how to get it off the ground, and this is where a lot of companies may, or a lot of leaders may shut me off. But what I use is I partner with a consulting firm to help me do this. However, they know that they have to do this at a cost neutral basis for me. That is really important. So they have to help me find grants that are available to the state, through the state, to me as the employer, because states set aside funds for companies to hire individuals with disabilities. And so what we've done is we have a training program that we built with the consultants, and they will work with the state to help these wages get paid for by the state until we onboard them, and then onboard meaning they become our full-time employees, then they become just like every other associate that we have in our workforce. But that's really important for leaders to understand, is there are resources out there to help you. But they also understand, so we use a group called Deb Russell Inc. They are very good at understanding our business. They're very good at understanding that we are a cost center, and they're great partners. And that's the one thing I would tell you, if you're not going to partner with someone like myself or Randy or get some help along the way, these resources are out there to be able to help you if you are in a large company, but they can also help with small coffee shops and things like that as well that I see out in the industry.
You said coffee
shops.
Funny you say that, Tom, because I'm, I don't know if you've been following along here, but I am, I've started my journey on starting a small business with the goal of hiring people with disabilities. I want to start a coffee shop.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir. I've actually been inspired by people like Isaac and Mike and you know, influenced by people like yourself and other people we've had on this show, because I hear from so many people that we've had on Driven by Purpose talk about the positive experience they've had hiring people with disabilities. And you hear about it. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's do something about it. And so for me, I'm at a point in my career, in my life, where I'm like, you know, I want to do something about it. And so Mike brought up a Biddy and Bo's coffee shop. It's popular in the South and on the East Coast. And there's a coffee shop out here in outside of Los Angeles called Lucky Dog that hires people with disabilities. And I was like, why can't I do that too? So I've started to kind of research and put some stuff together. I'm talking to a potential partner and I'm looking to do that out here. So even though it's not as big as Clean Logic and Dollar Tree and stuff like that, you know, I'm just a guy, but why can't I try to do something like that and make a difference? And
I love it. And I think that's great.
Walk a little bit.
I sure would like it if Clean Logic was as big as Dollar Tree, though.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hey, you only have 9,000 locations you got to come up with. So, well,
yeah, I was thinking counting. more revenue.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah.
So Tom, real quick, yeah, in terms ahead. Of, because you had mentioned you got a consultant, you know, we've also talked about vocational rehab because, you know, Dollar Tree, I think you had said, had 25 distribution centers in different states. So I liked how you said there's consultants, there's, how do you choose? Do you do both? Like, because we're leading at the Inspiration Foundation with the SEAL, more with the state agencies, working with CSAVR and Kathy West Evans and her team. But I'm starting to learn there's also companies aren't just doing it on their own with them. They're also using consultants. So how do you use both, or how do you work with them, especially the state, when you also have a consultant?
So we use both. So their consulting group helps us. And by the way, it's only like 4 people that the mm-hmm. consulting group that helps us. They help build the training programs and obviously the other things I mentioned. But they facilitate the introductions with VR because these are individuals that have also worked with Voc Rehab with the various states. And so we actually have a relationship with them as well. So it's kind of a trio, if you will, and it's 3 different parties working together. And as an example, we hold a weekly call. I've done this at all 3 organizations, where I'm on every one of those calls, helping to forge the relationship between these three groups, which is Voc Rehab, our consulting group, and Dollar Tree, or the company. And that helps with accountability, driving for results. And honestly, one of the reasons I think it's important for VR to be on our regular calls, they're responsible for helping us build a healthy pipeline of talent. Because I'm on there, like, where are you at? You need to have 5 people. If you don't have 5 people, why not? Where are you at? And they do. They're not used to that, but that's okay, right? Usually they're happy when we're on these calls because we're helping them get results. I'm going to give you a story. I'm going to give you an example. When we did this first in Mississippi, very interesting story. They drove up from Jackson up to northern Mississippi. It was about a 3-hour drive. And this was the head of business development for Voc Rehab. And he thought he was going to a store for whatever reason. He didn't know that we were going to be putting on the table, we want 100 people with disabilities out of your organization. About 6 months after we got our project underway, he kind of let the cat out of the bag. And he said to me, he goes, I have to confess something to you. I said, well, what's that? He said, well, my coworker and I, we were driving back to Jackson after we met with you and your team. He said, we said to each other, how long do you think it's going to take for them to figure out that we have no idea what we're doing? I loved that because that showed me that he was vulnerable enough to tell me that, because I was in the same camp as him. We were all trying to figure this out together. I was literally just scrolling a text or a note somewhere the other day. I don't remember where I saw it. And this is not, I'm not trying to give myself praise or anything, but he dropped me a note not shortly after that. He said that initiative in Mississippi showed us that in our agency, what we can do, and we did not know we were able to do.
It's amazing.
That. And I thought that was so inspirational for me when I first read that, because that shows you that when government and companies work together, you can achieve amazing things.
So my understanding, real quick, I just wanted to get clarity on this. So Tom, you're using your consultant for more strategy, building out like how you're going to work it through states, and then the states are helping you recruit, build the program that's there locally in the state. So that's how you're working with, along with your organization.
Yes, correct. There's that could be a separate conversation, but the consulting firm, they help with a number of things, which includes training our leaders. I know, here's what autism shows. What does it look like when it shows up on your work floor? Here's what's when someone's deaf shows up on your work floor. Here's what that's going to look like. So it's kind of a package of things that happen. But again, they do it. It's all cost neutral. So at the end of the day, all those dollars come back to us. And that's what's important for the business leader to hear.
Can I just jump in for a second here, Tom? Because one of the things that you just talked about, I think there's an important element. And that's when you're talking about how when you're dealing with the government side, and it's like a huge part of that is ego aside and just people connecting as people with a common goal of just trying to do the right thing and do what's best for everybody. And it's like you connecting as people and just trying to just talk and just like, all right, how do we just find the best way to just make the situation best for everybody? And just like no ego, right? No posturing, just like talking and just sitting down and just trying to get to the solution. And yeah. like, I wish there was more of that. Like, that's such a great example of like how you get the best out of two different sides that aren't used to like working together, but you did. And I feel like more people should take like the lesson from that. Just talk.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Why don't people take the first step? And Tom, like when he was telling the story, they were like, how long do you think it's going to take before they figure out we have no idea what yeah. we're doing? But the point is they did it.
Yeah.
And whether they had a playbook or whether they could call a friend to ask a question or not, they just did it and they created success. And I think that's the point I want to show is just do it. I think it's just yeah. not just for this conversation, but for all businesses or purpose-driven businesses, you got to have your why, but sometimes even not, you just take the first step to find something out and look at what you can create. These guys had no idea and look what they did. And they're obviously doing a good job for you.
Well, now when that all comes out, but at the end of the day, like you said, you have to have metrics, especially at a publicly traded company. You're always running metrics. So what are the metrics that should be set up? Are you setting this up early with the consultant, the state? Like, what are the metrics that you're talking throughout the organization that everybody's looking at to be successful?
We look at four primary metrics. And we track this information on our own, along with Anderson University, who we partner with to study culture. And they've written a number of white papers on this, but we look at attendance, we look at turnover, safety, and then we look at productivity. Productivity, my experience has been it's primarily at or better, not leaps and bounds better, but at the end of the day, the individuals with disabilities that come in are far more committed to their jobs than those that do not have a disability. And so we look at those metrics, and they are they're very very healthy numbers that allow us to not hire as many people. It reduces the workforce size. People are coming in every single day. Your turnover is much lower. Like I mentioned prior, you know, the turnover rates I've seen are less than 10% in some of these buildings that have high numbers of people with disabilities, where typically you're running around 100% in some of these facilities just because of the nature of the work. So it's a very good business decision to hire people with disabilities. And, you know, I'm going to ask your question, why not just take that first step? Randy Lewis says this. He says, if it doesn't work, what'd you really lose? He's exactly right.
Exactly.
You didn't lose anything.
That's not by it. You probably learned a lesson out of it. So should you want to do it again next time, you do it better next time.
Right. Man. That's right.
Tom, can I take you back to the coffee shop situation real quick? Hey, man, I'm taking the time. Let's bring it back. Bring it back to the coffee shop. So when I was talking to some people at another coffee shop that hires people with disabilities, they were saying that their pipeline usually goes through a Goodwill, that Goodwill has a pipeline that they train people up and bring people in, and then also school districts. What's your experience working with those? Have you had experience working with those two groups, and what's your experience like working with them?
We have not. Schools sometimes, yes, we do work with schools. What we'll do is a lot of the schools have what's an aging out program, and they'll have training. I don't want to say training. They'll have informational sessions for parents. So help them understand, you know, now that your child's going to come out of high school, a lot of dual income parents, some will have to stay home. So it's this. I don't want to say it's a training, but it's a training or a session that happens with these parents on how they're going to make that transition. And we involve ourselves, well, we partner with these schools and we say, or you could work at an organization like Name It, where they will hire people with disabilities in there and very inclusive workplace. And by the way, your son or daughter won't be the only person in that building with a disability. And if you're a parent, as I know you,
huge,
you are, Evan and Mike, if you're going to send your child into a workplace and they're the only ones with a disability, I imagine that would be kind of scary.
Yeah,
but if they're going to be in there with a lot of other people with the same disabilities that they have, they're going to be included.
Yeah. You know, it's a program, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. You definitely feel like they're more comfortable handling and kids with you know, because my daughter's severely disabled, right? Like she's nonverbal and she has an AAC device. And if there are people that are familiar interacting with kids with AAC devices, you're like, oh, okay, that's good. At least we don't have to like start from scratch and train everybody up and they're going to have to, that's good. So you feel more comfortable. There are people, you know, that have experience with that, which is great.
Yep. And Evan, to answer your question, or have you worked with Goodwill or organizations like that? We have not, but we always partner. It depends on the state. Not every state does this. Like Mississippi, their example, they are the actual Goodwill. They do all the placement of people. And by the way, when you say Goodwill, so those are the, we call them a feeder pool, so to speak. So these are the people that will go out and interact with the community and find people with disabilities and that they want to find a job or they want to work. But the we partner with the group. We have in Texas, we use a group called Work Ready. That's what they do. And they will also provide us with our job coaches in the warehouse floor, and they will at no charge to us as the employer. And these are all things that the consultants help us with to make sure that we are getting the right structure set up. They will have an on-site in the building, managing the program for their individuals until they become our employees. Then we assume that. It's kind of a co-employment relationship. You have to be a little careful with that, but they kind of like a temp agency manage their individuals with disabilities in the workplace. And then once they come over to us, we'll take it from there. And then they're our employees and we'll treat them just like everybody else. Not that we didn't do that before. However, it is a training program, right? So there's a little bit of trial and error with them that we give them more time with. And we also, by the way, hire people through what we call the front door. So those are people that may come in with a disability that they don't need that extra time. And so we'll just interview them just like everybody else. But we have to train our leadership team of how to interview someone maybe who has autism and how you look past that. And that's all training that has to take place.
Wow, Tom. Well, I know we're getting close to the end here, but you know, one of the things that I'm just thinking, because again, you've done it at scale. It just seems overwhelming when you have that many people and that many facilities. What's the number one advice that you give someone today to start this month just to get there and break the fear? Because we know the number one reason people don't hire people with disabilities is fear. Dr. Kirk Adams has put that out there. He's seen the study. So what is that first step today, this month, that someone could do to really get to the next level to take advantage of these amazing, you know, I like what Jen Thompson said, it's a competitive advantage, not a charity.
Yeah, I think that's a great line. And I would actually, I'd actually go back to what Randy Lewis talks about. And that is, there's two parts to this, which is, you know, you have to have the heart for it, which he tells me all the time. And then you have to have, the right business sense for it, right? So does it make sense? And so that's what I would say is if you're thinking about doing this within the next 30 days, is I would look at those two things. And if maybe this is something you don't have a passion for, but you know it's a good idea, find someone who does and introduce this idea to them. Listen to this podcast, listen to other podcasts, go to some videos that we've created in my past life, whether it's Sephora. I know we've been putting anything out at Bed Bath & Beyond, but Sephora has some really good videos out there.
Publicly?
And publicly, yeah, they're out there on all their Instagram feeds. If you just type in like Sephora and disabilities, you're gonna see a whole bunch of amazing videos that they put together.
By the way, again, shout out to Sephora. I've been taking my daughter to shop there since she brought it up on the last episode.
There you go. So, I love it. They're great. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
And I would also just Isaac, to answer your question, I think it's okay to just at least say I want to do this and then get it abnormal. It took me six months to say, okay, let's go. And because I just felt like I needed to understand exactly what I was doing just because of the scale of what we were trying to do. But I would say involve people that have the heart and the mind, the business sense for it, get their ideas and try to find the people that are going to tell you no. I would love to hear their reasons because they're usually not very good.
Hey, Tom, thank you for doing what you're doing, man. I know I said this to you last time, but I appreciate it. It's inspiring and it means a lot. And, you know, every time we talk, it just, it's great to know that there are people like you out there, you know, really, you know, just doing good stuff, man. And really speaking up for this community and leading the way and just, It's great, man. It makes my heart full. It's great. But, so thank you for doing that.
It feels so, like, from my point, when I listen to you and we're having this conversation, it feels so natural, like, for you to do this. You know what I mean? Like, just the way you approach it and your experience and how you talk about it, it's, you've been doing this for years and years and years and years and years. You know what I mean?
It's funny you say that, because I feel like when I talk about it, I leave pieces out, and I'm getting to a point where it almost feels like this is a commonly known or common sense, and it's not, right? And I have to remember that when I talk about it.
Yeah.
Man, well, look, I hope, go ahead.
Well, not to interrupt. I was saying, not, because you know what I mean by common sense. It's like commonly known. As
yeah, like, but it's, that's yeah. what I'm saying. It's easy. Everybody knows this stuff. You know what I mean? But they don't.
Yeah. But look, every day, you know, people out there are, you know, starting new businesses or, you know, getting promoted to positions where they have, you know, more power to hire people and stuff like that. And hopefully people are listening to this and paying attention and doing the right thing and hopefully being open-minded to hiring more people and getting off the fence, like we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, and springing into action and doing this. And it's not just because it's doing the right thing, but it's good for business, which is what Isaac was saying at the top of the episode. It's good for business. The numbers bear it out. Yeah. Do the right thing. Hire people with disabilities.
And I just want to close with this interesting statement. We've been interviewing for our executive director role at Inspiration, and one brought some great knowledge. She's been strong in the diversity, equity, inclusion space, and she's saying she's seeing a lot of it moving to accessibility, disability, employment. So she's like, I think you're, for the next 12 to 24 months, you're going to see this big movement of going into disability employment, because that's what, you know, they're talking about in the diversity and equity inclusion and the support. So I've been feeling that for the last couple of years, just meeting all these parents leaving their jobs. Evan, you're starting a business, like, that's, you're right, an entertainment guy, you know? So like, it just shows,
entertainment,
like,
guys, this, don't start businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and
no, man.
So,
well, I appreciate getting to know you guys in this work. I love what you guys are doing.
Likewise, Tom.
Well, we appreciate you, man. Dollar Tree's lucky to have you. And shout out to Dollar Tree, by the way, for investing in this and for doing the right thing and for doing this. And it's great. And we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you, Tom. And remember, if you like the show, if you like what you heard, the best way to help us and to help, you know, this community is to share, like, subscribe, tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody. It's worth it, man. Leave comments. You know, you can talk about the coffee shop in the comments. I love to hear about that. Talk about Isaac's shirt. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. We will comment. We'll get back to you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you on the next episode of Driven by Purpose. See ya.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.